On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And today we're talking to a, I want to say old friend, but he's considerably younger than me, which is good because we need younger voices in our industry. And Ryan Hanley. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. You've been a regular guest on Point, and we appreciate you coming back.
Oh, Peter, it's so much fun, man. Anytime I get to chat with an old dog vet like yourself, man, it's a pleasure, you know?
Yeah, I've been eating a lot more Purina these days. Anyway, let me ask you, Ryan, first, give us a thumbnail on from whence you come, because I think there's an important lens that you look at when you speak to independent agents.
Yeah, so I fell into this business just like everyone else. My wife's father owned an independent agency, and when we decided to move back to Albany, New York, which is where we live today, from New York City, he offered me a job to come work at his agency, and I accepted that offer because I wanted to marry his daughter. So that was the next year's. Yeah, it's funny how we make our decisions in life, right? So I spent the next 8 years as a boots-on-the-ground producer, the first two of which I would say are, if we were to filter them, would be through the classic traditional filter, meaning I literally bought rubber sole shoes. I literally made phone calls out of the phone book, cold calls out of the phone book. I mean, I did all the classic ask for referrals, drive around and drop business cards off at businesses, networking events, all the classic sales tactics and strategies that are implemented in independent agencies. I did. I found I was really terrible at those, or at least I hated them. At the time, what's funny is now many of the classic sales techniques I actually enjoy and in some cases prefer. But at the time, I hated them, and that drove me online. And that's kind of where I made my mark in the industry initially, was using content creation, both blog posts and videos on YouTube, to drive traffic and, more importantly, qualified referrals into our agency. And there's a lot of stories that if you Google, you can find about what that looked like. But ultimately, I became a fairly successful producer. At a certain point in my history with my wife's local agency, there wasn't really much farther for me to go there. And being a non-owner producer in a local, 15-person agency for the rest of my life, at least at that time, did not seem like something I was interested in. So I left and joined TrustedChoice.com, where I founded Agency Nation and grew that from nothing to over 500 unique users a month or a year, which was, I think, fairly incredible for a startup digital publication in the independent insurance space. We also hosted two successful conferences. That would be Elevate 2017 and 2018. I left there having a very similar feeling that I did when I left the Murray Group back in August of this last year. I had initially intended on going out on my own and forming a consulting agency, but I reached out to a good friend of mine, Ilya Bodner, who is the founder of a company called Bold Penguin, just kind of surveying the marketplace, just, hey, I'm kind of making this move out on my own. What do you see in the space? Who's making moves? And he said, well, hey, why don't you take a flight down to Columbus and we'll just talk for a little bit, which is where they're headquartered. And I did. And when I saw what Bold Penguin was doing, and the problem that they were solving in particular, they work in the commercial line space, and we can talk about Bold Penguin in a minute, but when I saw what they were doing and how transcendent I thought the technology could actually be, I decided to join them and help spread the good word. So that is where I am today. I'm the chief marketing officer of Bold Penguin, and life is good, man.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Give us a little thumbnail on Bold Penguin. I mean, it's boldpenguin.com for those who want to look at it.
Yep. So you can go to boldpenguin.com, check us out. Boldpenguin.com is a startup technology company. Ilya Bodner and Ben Clark, the two founders of the company, are both insurance guys. One founded the Shipyard. Ilya was, I think, the president or something of the Shipyard with Ben for a while. Ilya also was an Allstate agency owner, so he used to be a captive agency owner for a while. So both commodity insurance industry. And the problem that we are currently solving is in the small commercial space. And essentially what we're doing is we're reducing friction in both consumer interest to kind of connection with an agent and the underwriting process. So what that looks like in a nutshell is, if you were to imagine the human agent at the center of all transactions, which is really on the commercial line side and really all insurance transactions where it should be, I think the independent agents that are completely passing up the human experience, I think are taking it a step too far, but I could be wrong about that. I think today the majority of insurance transactions still need a human. They just need a human at the right moment, the optimized moment. And that's, I think, the core idea behind Bold Penguin. You do not need a human for every touch point. Frankly, if you're using a human for every touch point in the insurance transaction, you're most likely losing business or certainly not optimizing your agency's productivity. And I think you can automate certain processes while still injecting the human at the right moment and get the same amount of loyalty, respect, connectivity that you would get, if you were hand-holding the person through a 42-question, handwritten accord form. So that all being said, what happens is a consumer shows interest on the internet. And there's two halves to the Bold Penguin business. The first half is their marketplace. That's what they're classically known for. Consumer shows interest on the internet, connects with one of our partners. If that partner wants to write the business, they run it through our platform. They get a quote from anywhere between 3 and 6 commercial lines carriers for that line of business, and then they have appetite information for another 15 if they want to write it. If they don't want to write it, they can then sell it into our marketplace, and then we then turn around and sell that to another one of our partners who wants to write that line of business. So a classic example would be long-haul trucking. Some people love it. Some people don't want anything to do with it, and our system basically triages your opportunities for you. So people sell in. People buy out. It's a true marketplace. Think of it like a Bloomberg exchange for insurance opportunities. So we have about 4,000 users. So those aren't necessarily individual agencies. So an agency could have 5 users. We have 4,000 users on the platform today. The other half of our system is it's a technology solution, which really is based around the triaging platform that we described. So we power progressivecommercial.com. That is our largest client today. So if you go to progressivecommercial.com, what you're looking at is the Bold Penguin solution. And what we do for today, really our solution and its customizations are built around top 100 brokers and carrier-owned agencies. So large volume shops, number one thing that decreases profitability or ultimately creates an unprofitable situation for them inside of a small solution market set or small business market set is the fact that their representatives, their agents, the people who are answering their phones are dealing for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour with a client that they ultimately can't write or is a line of business that they know to be unprofitable and they don't actually want to write. So when you're in a two-person agency, you'll take a shot at everything that comes in. But when you're in a 200-person call center agency, all those touches with lines of business that aren't profitable, they add up, and they add up fast and substantially. So when an opportunity comes into a system, we are routing that based on all kinds of different characterizations and triggers and levers. Do you want to write this business? Is it something you can bind? And if you can bind it, can we produce real live rates for a one-call close? That's really one of our primary metrics, is we want your representatives, your producers, your agents to be one-call closing all day. Basically, they pick up the phone, they answer it, that the information has already been gathered. They're staring. You're staring at live quotes that they can be bound online. And to be honest with you, it's completely ludicrous what we're doing. And I think when the broader market really sees the potential in the platform, and not the potential, because it's a live working solution for one of the largest carriers in the world today. So, like, there's really no one that this couldn't work for. And I think by the end of 2019, we'll probably have a half a dozen of the top 20 carriers in the entire country on the platform, which is absolutely insane to me when I think about it. It is a transcendent piece of technology, and it's very exciting times.
Okay. So is it, just so I'm clear, are you talking small commercial mainly?
Yeah, I think 50 to 100 employees or less.
Okay. And is it all different kinds of small commercial? Because you mentioned Progressive. I thought they just did commercial auto when it comes to commercial. Maybe I'm wrong there.
So they have a, so Progressive has a internal agency. So they do write, okay, they write commercial auto on their own platform, but they essentially have an agency that they own through Progressive Commercial, which they have appointments with carriers just like an independent agency would, and they're helping provide solutions most often for a lot of their commercial auto carriers who aren't with an independent agent. So they're direct business.
Okay.
You know, they're not, this isn't a, I don't think they're doing too much. You know, I don't know all the details around how they're marketing it, but I do know that, I do know they are 100% not competing with IAs in terms of, like, if they have, if an IA has commercial auto with them, they're not remarketing those people. I do know anything that comes direct to them, they are looking to write that business. So if you Progressive Commercial and all the solutions around that, you know, they're one of our clients.
Okay, got it. All right, so Ryan, let's shift for a second, because I know over the years, and you know, we've run into each other at many, many conferences that involve technology and agents, and you know, shifting your attitudes towards the future, toward the next generation of workers, et cetera. What are the things that are on your mind as we head into 2019, and what are the things you're talking about and you give a lot of talks to? So what can you share with us?
So there's three main topics I think that looking into 2019 are the most interesting to me. The first is the idea of connectivity. The second is particularly the move from major players like Farmers, State Farm, AmFam, Progressive, Geico, Berkshire Hathaway into the small commercial space and the amount of money that's pouring in. And I don't have cardinal knowledge of most of them. I'm reading the same articles that everyone else could be reading. But you just see, and when you hear, Warren Buffett talking about Buy Berk, which is a D2C play out of Berkshire Hathaway, you know, they're pouring a tremendous amount of money into that platform. And I don't think Warren Buffett does that if he doesn't see real potential there. So I think that's a big topic that we need to consider. And the last is really the talent in our industry and this transition of talent from experienced veteran industry professionals who really got the IA space to where it is today. Well, more and more of them are cycling out almost on a daily basis, and we have to replace that talent. And how we do that and the type of people we hire and how we train them and the opportunities that we give to them or help them earn, I guess, is incredibly important too. So those are the three things, and we can dive into any one of them that you want to, but those are the three topics that I'm the most interested in right now.
Okay, well, let's stick to the talent issue. We can move on to the others because they're all interesting to me as well. You know, you and I have talked before about how agents have this perceived issue of bringing in new talent, and frankly, carriers as well. And I always say that a job interview is kind of like in two parts. One is convincing me as you're the candidate that, you know, why you should want to come to work here. But really, just as important is why I, the owner or the boss or whoever I am, should convince you why this is a good place for you to be. And I think agents struggle, and this is a really gross overgeneralization, but I hear it all the time, so I figure it's got to be real. After a while, all the anecdotes, we can't find people to work here. The young generation doesn't care about insurance. It's not that interesting an industry. I think it's a wonderful industry. I think it's just an issue of maybe perception, but it's also an issue of individual firms, again, carriers and agents, just presenting presenting what they have to offer in a different way, maybe a new way, because it is pretty exciting. If they are, again, thinking more innovative versus status quo, because status quo agency or a status quo carrier isn't going to make it anyway, so there's no reason why they should even be recruiting. They should be just selling and getting out.
You know, man, so I have a couple feelings on this. My first is I think for as much as I love the veterans of this industry and what they've done, as a broad sweeping stroke, they are incredibly egotistical in terms of their belief in what new talent should do in order to be brought into our space. So I'm not saying they're egotistical on everything. I'm saying in particular in how new producers, young talent, creatives, marketers, the way many junior underwriters are treated in many organizations, it's as if they should bow down and feel honored to have the privilege to work in our space. And that's just not the way the world operates today. There's too many opportunities, right? There's too many places where, you know, you can spin up a business and put your, you know, something you have expertise in with creativity and build a business around. And the truth is, you know, I think how you started that question around the entire conversation has to be flipped. I, as someone who's looking for a job, yes, I have to present myself in a positive way, and yes, I have to have the skills and knowledge and drive and all those kind of things, but you got to come find me. That's the truth. If you need me to put a resume together, like, I'm not applying for your job. That's the truth. Like, I'm like the, you know what I mean? Like, and there are so many people that are similar to the way I am. Like, go look at my LinkedIn. Am I someone that you think would fit? Then let's have a conversation and see if I like working for you. But I'm not gonna bow down and feel like it's some great gift that you're willing to offer me a job. You know what I mean? If I'm educated and I'm hardworking, there are plenty of jobs out there. There are plenty of jobs. It's not hard to find a job. I can start my own company on the side. There's plenty of things that I can do. The other part of it too is the one thing about the millennial generation, there's two real things about the millennial generation and the millennial mindset, not just the millennial generation, because I'm barely a millennial, so I don't know that I can really speak for the generation.
Yeah, you're on the older side, or right?
I would be the first year of millennials, so
okay, got
I don't
it.
Know that I'm qualified to speak for the whole generation. I was born in 81, so yeah. The idea is like, the work needs to have meaning. I need to feel like I'm giving back to something. That doesn't mean flat structure has to be flat structure. That doesn't mean you don't have to pay your dues. It just means the work has to have meaning. So if you bring me in and you say, hey, I'm going to pay you $45,000 a year to be a junior underwriter, and like, you should be happy that you have this job, well, I'm not really super interested in that. You know what I mean? Or as a producer, hey, I'm going to put you on a draw and give you 40-30 and like, welcome to the biz, like, go get it done. Nope, I'm not super interested in that either. So we have to spin the conversation and how we have to look at how we pay people, the meaning that we're providing, all that kind of stuff. And the other side of it is, the creativity that people want in their work, right? There's an element of creativity that so many people want into their work. It doesn't mean you're just blogging all the time or just, you know, stuff like that. It means just, are there places where I can add a little bit of who I am to this process and feel like a part of me is making this happen? And I really think that's how you find good people. And it's not incredibly difficult to do. You just have to be open to the conversation and willing to put in a little bit of work. And I think we're just not used to that. And the organizations that are doing it are bringing in some incredibly talented people. I look at some agencies, like, you know, good example is like the GNN guys, Zach and Matt, you know, they've become kind of household names around the industry here in the last 18 to 24 months, and they're doing incredible stuff. They do not have a problem hiring people. You know what I mean? You look at an agent like Jeff Roy up in Canada or Seth Zaremba in the middle of the country. Like, you look at another great example, the O'Neill Group in Ohio. Here's a fairly traditional agency that by fluke luck runs into Danny Kimball, who's a former dance teacher who's looking for something that's a little more 9-to-5. She puts all the creativity that she brought to her work as being a dance instructor and a dance teacher to the insurance agency, and she has completely changed the dynamic of how they tell their story, how they distribute their message. And look, that took some openness and willingness by that organization to say, we're going to let you come in and do your thing. But by doing so, they've just changed the whole face of the organization. I don't think many organizations would have looked at her and given her a shot. They would have said, well, you don't have an insurance background and you're not licensed yet and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and discarded her and basically left, you know, this, you know, just a diamond. They would have just walked away from an absolute rock star. So we have to change the mentality around the way that we hire.
Gosh, Ryan, we could talk for hours about this because it's like we're at this point where I don't think a lot of insurance technicians who, you know, maybe they run an agency or they're really good at something technical, like what's in a commercial lines policy, or even on the carrier side, they may be good at some kind of thing in underwriting or actuarial or claim. But it just seems like we have to change the conversation about who we're recruiting and how we do the recruiting. It just seems like I think you're onto something here about the flipping the conversation, but I don't have all the answers. I just ask a lot of dumb questions, but it just feels like we're still trying to hire like we did in the 1980s.
Yeah. I'd say if you're doing anything like it was done in the 1980s, there's a good chance you should at least question that practice. Doesn't mean that's wrong. You should at least question it.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of the insurance technicians that are running agencies should not be running agencies. Doesn't mean they shouldn't own the agencies. They just shouldn't be running them. If you're an agency owner and you love nitpicking a policy form, go be a producer and own your agency and be the chairman of the board or whatever. But let someone else run your agency, because you are the wrong person to run it if you care for it to be around. That's my thought process. And again, I'm just, you know, some kid sitting in his basement talking to you on the phone. But I've probably talked to as many independent agency owners and producers in the last 4 years as anybody in this entire industry across the country. You know, we're talking 20 speaking events a year, not including all the national events that I've been to and all the InsurTech events I've been to and all the phone calls and all the emails and all the messages that I have. And I don't mean that to say anything other than I've got a broad sweeping stroke understanding of what's happening in the space. And the problem is technicians are trying to be business owners and they're very bad at it. And that was okay when you were getting to a certain point. But if you've stalled, and maybe you haven't stalled, maybe you're still crushing and it's all good, then don't even listen to what I'm saying. Who I'm really talking to are the people who have stalled and they're looking around and they're going, we need fresh ideas. We can't find the right person. We need to figure out a way to get off of this plateau or reverse this downward trend that we're feeling in our business right now. Like, if those are the kind of things that are hitting your mind, then I would seek out creativity in some of my junior and mid-level staff, find true creatives and put them in the positions that they can be successful at and let them do their job. And step out of the way in day-to-day management and go do what you do best, which is build relationships and sell insurance. There's no, you know, if you're operating from a place of ego, then you're like, no, I'm the owner and I make the decisions and I'm going to control everything that comes out of here. And look, I get that. I'm a guy too. I got to fight the same ego issues as I shouldn't say guy. I guess that's sexist. But you know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, ego is a big issue that we all have to deal with. But at the same time, if you're really thinking about your business from the standpoint of wanting, you know, legacy and longevity, or you're just trying to max out the valuation, there is most likely someone who's better at managing the day-to-day and thinking about this type of stuff and you are probably the best producer in your agency, and all this stuff keeps you from being that. And I think when you start to see agency owners bifurcate their responsibilities and pass off some of the day-to-day management stuff to someone who's really qualified is probably not even the right word, someone who's passionate about running a business, and then they can get to what they do best, man, that I think that's really where success happens. I mean, that's really exciting and sexy stuff.
Yeah, I can tell you the best practices agencies that I look at have all gone out, either they've done it internally or they've gone out and actually found COOs and CEOs to run their firms. So it takes stepping outside of yourself, like you said, checking your ego and saying, what is good for the firm? You know, there's no shame in just doing production, right? There's no shame in it. It's what you're good at. But you can't be good at everything. And I think it's one of the hardest things. And this is why agents struggle with marketing, because they're trying to do that too in a part-time way, or trying to approve every single piece of creative, and it doesn't work. Hey, Ryan, I think we could just spend a minute, if you don't mind, on the other issues you brought up, because I'm curious about, I've heard several people say this, various podcast guests we've had before, that while the 60s, 70s, 80s gave rise to these very large captive agent companies, as well as direct writers, direct response, you know, the big brands, some of which you mentioned already, like Geico, State Farm, AmFam, et cetera, Farmers, there's a possibility that we could see the rise in the decades ahead of very large, successful independent agencies, especially around commercial lines and maybe some niche personal lines products. What do you think about that? Because I'm so curious what's happening with the regionals, the super regional IA companies. There's a lot of them. I don't know if they're all going to make it, but I feel like the agents who are doing really well just seem to be doing really well. And maybe it's this aggregator trend or the online MGA trend that's driving this thought in my mind.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of thoughts, and I'm going to try to keep them concise, which you know is difficult, but I'm going to do my best. So I feel very passionately about this topic. So I think the fact that Nationwide has just dropped all their captive agents and are helping them transition into independence is a sign that that the ability to offer a portfolio of products, even to a niche market, is incredibly important to success, because the cost of acquisition can get very high if you only have one product to sell. So I think that you are right, that I think the trend is going to swing back to independent agents. That being said, I think there's going to be a wave. And if everyone will bear with me and not get mad at the first thing I say, hopefully the second thing will make more sense. I think we're going to see a 40% head cut in the next 5 years on independent agents, 30 to 40%. I don't think they can stick around. I see what's going on with agencies that are doing really well, and they are just eating the lunch of the agents that aren't willing to innovate. They're just eating their lunch. They're just growing at. I was just talking to a couple agents the other day, and they sent me some of their financials, just to talk through like some of the growth strategies they've been using and the success they've seen. And I'm looking at the financials of a we'll call them a super regional, like a three state agency, single location agency that writes in three states, and they went from $1 million to $2 million in 1 year in revenue, and they're doing that. I mean, that's insane growth. $1 million to $2 million. They doubled their growth in 1 year. In 1 year. I mean, and here's the crazy part. Every tactic and strategy they use is freely available on the internet. And every speaker who spoke at Elevate or any of the other conferences has shared ideas. They're just putting them into practice. And the truth is, there are 30 to 40% of the agencies out there that are just completely unwilling to put them into practice. And if you talk to a lot of the super regional carriers, you'll tell them it's more like 50 or 60% of the agencies are unwilling to put what are freely available and widely understood tactics and strategies from a marketing and sales perspective. They're just completely unwilling to put them into practice. They're light flippers. They show up, they turn their lights on, they answer the phone if it rings. If it doesn't, they just screw around on YouTube or, you know, do paperwork, and then at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whenever they don't feel like working anymore, and they turn the lights off and they go home. And that's great. Like, I'm glad you built a business that fits your lifestyle. But unfortunately, that agency, the pace at which that agency is unable to keep up is only going to get more, because you're not, the sophistication of the tools and the cost of the tools is, like, the sophistication is so high and the cost is so low that all you need to be is willing to do the work and you can crush. So what I see happening is a small group of small, mid, and large agencies just completely outpacing the rest of the market. And what you're going to see is a 30 to 40% just head chop in terms of independent agencies. And all that business is going to get either moved over to other agencies or bought up in M&A. What that's going to do is create a gap in the market for new startup scratch and scratch agencies, although scratch is very tough, startup agencies and scratch agencies to come in and fill the void in niche markets. And I think that's really the flow that we're about to see. What I would have everyone ask themselves is, if you don't know you're in that group that are doing the right things, then there's a very good chance you're in that group that could get their head cut. And don't think that because you have a $5 million book of business that you are somehow, like, outside the world of ever having this happen to you. Because if there are two or three innovative agencies in your marketplace, and that $5 million book could be $3 million real quick. Because my buddy, who just doubled the size of his agency in 1 year, that $1 million in business came from somewhere, right? It came from somewhere, and it's not, and since a lot of it is commercial, it most likely came from other independent agents. So yeah. I just think that the tools are there. The tools are there. They're just all, you know what I mean? They're freely available. If you don't like your agency management system, change it. I'm so sick of that conversation. Stop complaining. Either deal with the one you have and make it work for you, or go find another one. I was just doing some research on a company called NowCerts. I think they're new to the market, but it's super interesting. $59 for one user, $35 after that, and it's got upload down. I mean, all the stuff you could ever want. It's completely online. They got the app. It's all completely integrated. I mean, it's like I'm sure they're a little young and it's a little buggy, but geez, everything you could possibly want is right there. So it's like, yeah. Stop complaining about all the things that do or don't work and just go make it happen. Like, the tools are there, or don't. But I just tell you, as a market observer, 5 years, 30 to 40%. I can see that. Because they're getting bought up like crazy. I mean, Tom Doran from Regan Consulting the other day told me that they're trending towards over 500 M&A activities again this year. And I think that number is only going to continue to increase. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's time to wade into the pool and start playing the game and stop saying, oh, well, I don't really know how to do that. Hire somebody. I'm not really into that. Somebody that is. Send your people to class. Go teach them how to do it. Hire a consultant. You know what I mean? Like, go get it done. I don't, you know what I mean? It's just, I've heard these things for years, man. It's just like, I'm sick of the excuses. Like, let's go to work. It's there.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. You know, a lot of, I'm with you all the way, bro. And a lot of this is, I don't disagree with what you're saying about the change underway. It's exacerbated, or maybe even highlighted, by the fact that the folks that have been limping along here for decades are now at the point where they're aging out. So they literally don't have a choice but to sell pieces of their book or their entire agency, or just give in and join an aggregator and hope for a silver bullet of some kind. But it's in part painful to watch, but I'm also kind of energized by what's going to come next, because I think the smart ones are going to do really, really well. It's a terrific business, man. That's why all that money's coming in from the outside. I mean, look at, even in our careers, Ryan, this is a recession-proof industry for the large part, in large part. It does really well. And if you just have a little bit of smarts, and I'm living proof of this, you can do quite well in this business, right? So. Yeah. I'm excited for the guys who are innovating.
I'm with you. So nothing I just said should be considered doom and gloom, because I think So I've been in the business for 12 years, so not the longest time, but I'd like to believe long enough to at least make this statement. It is by far, this year coming into 2019 is the most exciting year that I have had personally in my career, and I would have a feeling it's probably one of the more exciting years in the history of our industry, because I think 2019 is the year that true human hybrid automated agencies become an actual widespread thing that people accept, start to learn about, and start to implement at scale. Now, if you're doing it today, you're going to be well ahead. But, you know, I walked into my wife's agency the other day, because my wife is now part owner in the local agency, and I am their free marketing consultant. And, you know, I looked at what they were doing, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, with about 3 to 6 months worth of work, I could probably save you guys money on technology and double the amount of new business inquiries that you're receiving on a month-to-month basis. And I'm going to do that for them. So It's like, you know, they are as traditional an agency as it gets. I mean, they are traditional across the board, every aspect, right? So
yeah,
I can walk into their shop, spend about 2 hours with them, and I'm just like, look, we can change this. You already have that in place. We'll rejigger this. Yeah, we got to get rid of that process, but you know, it's not that big a deal. We're actually reduced some time for the CSRs, and they were all on board with it. I mean, we sketched out in 2 hours a plan, and just with some very conservative estimates, doubling the amount of inbound opportunities they got and decreasing their technology costs, because the tools are out there today. We're just not open to them, right? I mean, we're still looking at, you know, there are still companies paying $2,000-$3,000 a month, 15-person agencies for their agency management system. And I'm like, that's just not the world that we live in anymore. Like, you need to renegotiate that contract or, you know, figure out what you're doing next, because those aren't the prices that the market is operating under anymore. And if you're not using marketing automation tools, if you're not using call scheduling tools like Calendarly, like, there are ways of optimizing your process that actually work better for everybody that are probably more inexpensive than what you're actually paying for the old tools that you're using today. And I just think it's so exciting, because what it allows agencies to do is get rid of task-based value and get back to human-based value, which to me is the most exciting part of our business, right? So instead of, I'm going to process this TPS report for you and hopefully you find that valuable, it's instead of processing that TPS report, I'm going to let you do that on your own time. But when you call me, because I don't have to process 100 TPS requests every day, I can spend an extra 20 minutes with you on the phone talking about what you really need and really be a trusted advisor for you, and not have my boss saying, you need to get off the phone because you have 100 TPS reports that you have to process, and saying, I'm so glad that you spent an extra 20 minutes on the phone with Sharon, because you got Sharon to buy an umbrella policy. And now, one, we know she's better protected in case the worst day of her life ever happens. And two, the fact that she now has 3 policies with us just went from 70% to 90% retention rate. So that 20 minutes was well spent.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is like a really exciting part, is that this technology and the thought process, it's becoming widespread. It's becoming available. There are experts in our space. You know, go talk to Chris Langell at Advisor Evolved or Nick Ayers at ThriveSure or Made You Look Marketing. Like, these guys, and then there's plenty more. There's just two guys I know and I trust, but like that are teaching this stuff and showing people how to do it. So it's not just that the technology exists. It's not just that we understand we should use it, but we now have had enough time to develop true expertise to actually then teach the industry how to do it. And I think 2019 is a transcendent moment for us. As an industry, and I think everybody should be incredibly excited. Even if you are in that bottom 30%, right? You can pull yourself up in no time.
Sure.
Like, don't feel despair, man. Like, it's just a great. It's I don't know. I'm as excited as I've ever been to work in this space.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly hear that in your voice. We really appreciate your time, Ryan, and we'll be chatting with you again later in 2019, I hope, because there's a lot of things I need to ask you, but I think we're out of time. So, again, thank you for your time. Thanks for sharing, and we'll see you on the circuit in 2019, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much. If anybody LinkedIn's a great place to connect with me. And if you want to check out Bold Penguin, I very much think you should at least know what they're doing, even if it's not the tool for you today. I think it's a technology you should know about. So boldpenguin.com.
Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.